Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We need help from the people, from the general public. If they want to watch baseball, like, please wear a mask, like, social distance, keep washing your hands. Like, we can't just have virus fatigue and think it's been like, well, it's been 4 months, like, we're over it. This has been enough time, right? We've waited long enough. Like, shouldn't sports come back now? No, there's things we have to do in order to bring the stuff back. So, like, and now you want to bring fans back? I mean, I don't know. Is that safe? I'm not a public health expert, but, like, we should probably defer to them on some of these issues. So I don't know. I don't know if it's safe or not. I really don't know. But, like, that doesn't seem like something that I don't know if that feels like a good idea or not. I don't know. I think I'm planning on playing, but if at any point this I start to feel unsafe, if it starts to take a toll on my mental health, with all these things that we have to worry about and just kind of this cloud of uncertainty hanging over everything, then I'll opt out. But, you know, for now, I've prepared for the last 3 months, like I'm going to play. I feel ready to go. As I sit here talking to you guys, I still don't have my test results from Friday's test. So, like, I got tested again this morning without knowing the results of my test from Friday. So, we got to clean that up, right? So, that's one thing that, like, makes me a little nervous.
Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Man, just an absolutely stunning revelation from Washington Nationals closer Sean Doolittle, who spends his offseason living here in Chicago. Now, Doolittle went on to say, the Nationals have yet to receive the personal protective equipment they're supposed to have, including N95 masks and gloves. And the Major League Baseball season is scheduled to begin in less than 20 days. And usually, Tom, I'm as optimistic as they come. But after hearing from Doolittle, then seeing the sobering tweet this morning from the president's former Homeland Security advisor, Thomas Bossert, quote, we are in trouble. And here's why. The United States has recorded 4 straight days of at least 50,000 new COVID-19 cases. That includes 2 unnamed players on the White Sox and 2 of Doolittle's teammates in Washington. Positive cases are on the rise in 40 of America's 50 states. Now, the White Sox say both of their players are asymptomatic. They've been isolated here in town and are currently being monitored by the Sox medical staff. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We're here until 6 o'clock. 670 The Score baseball insider Bruce Levine will join us at 4 o'clock for the latest goings on the South Side. And then Ron Coomer, a good friend, will check in for the entire 5 o'clock hour. Tom, I'm all for fun and games. I mean, there was nothing better than seeing highlights of the Cubs playing that intra-squad 3-inning matchup yesterday where Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish were pitching. You know, Javier Baez was hitting doubles. I mean, they had the music blaring, the walk-up music, so that they were trying to make it as close to a real game day atmosphere as we're going to have in 2020. But until we stop playing games with this virus, Tom, I'm not sure we'll be able to see the games we love to watch in this country.
Yeah, but, you know, Zach, is what are we going to talk about here? Are we going to talk about the health concerns that everybody in the nation cannot avoid, and that you have to be more protective for yourself and everybody else has to take it more seriously? Or are we going to talk about the game? Because to me, when I amass a group of professional athletes, I need their focus about the game so intense that's the thing that's what they're doing. When I have Doolittle and his comments, I don't know if I want his attitude in the locker room. So I would rather have him pull the plug now because of his concern than wait until 3 days before a game, five guys before he's going to bat, or a week before a game and say, hey, I'm out of here. And because when he walks into the locker room, when he walks with the amount of guys he's going to walk around with playing a sport, that's what his focus is going to be. That's what he's going to talk about. That's the conversation he's going to let. And, Zach, listen, man, none of us are naive to what's going on, the numbers that are going around the country. When you listen to a statement that the U.S. is in trouble because of it, listen, there's no one that has more concern about that side of it than me. But when you start talking about sports, that's what the topic has to be about. And if you're going to bring in a guy to the locker room, that's going to lessen the focus of trying to get what you're going to do. Listen, the numbers are going to tell the story. If this thing blows up out of control, there's not going to be sports or baseball. But right. while there is, that's what you need to talk about.
All right, so let's take a look, zoom back a little bit, see what's going on the landscape of sports. So pitchers David Price and Felix Hernandez are the latest players to opt out of the 2020 season. Like Doolittle, Mike Trout, the best player in the game of baseball, has expressed his doubts that this can work, but he is practicing. There's this great picture of him running the bases yesterday wearing a mask, and his wife tweeted out the picture of him running the bases with a mask on and said, hey, if Mike Trout can play baseball wearing a mask, you can do so leaving your house. And she's right. And we've seen this work successfully in Europe and Asia. And I've harped on this. You know, I go back to what Doolittle said. Sports are like the reward of a functioning society. We're not doing it right here. And it's going to impact them in all sports, because we've seen professional sports in Europe. We've seen it work in Asia because they flatten their curves as a society and then crush the curve. Here we're going in the opposite direction. And I bring that up because, you know, you hear him while he's talking to the media pull out his phone and he still hasn't gotten the results. You cannot have stuff. That's unacceptable. If you're going to have guys coming back, and I think everyone understands that there's a certain amount of risk if you're going to try and play professional sports in this country in the midst of a virus. But what you can't have is a lack of what they call PPE, personal protective equipment, meaning masks, gloves, and they better have their test results in a timely fashion. I mean, that's the least you can do. So that way, it's tough enough, as you said, to concentrate on being successful in the actual sport you're playing. The last thing these guys need is to start worrying about other things because of a lapse in the basic necessities they need to have in order to make this work.
Yeah, you know, too, I harp on this, too, because, again, I never had the luxury of thinking about opting out of my sport because I felt so secure financially. And these guys, I'm sure if you put together their total of their salary this year, the guys that have opted out, it's going to be pretty extreme. So, again, Zach, it's hard for me because I really do believe if I was an active player and I come from the background I did, I would still go out there and play. You know, so I look at it and I'm sympathetic to everybody in the world. I'm not sympathetic to these baseball players that are figuring out ways not to play the sport. I'm sympathetic to the side of the world that's trying to cure or get a hold on this pandemic. But if you're going to try to put the sports in motion, give me a group of guys that want to be there. And I don't have any problem with any of these guys if they've made a lot or they're just at the beginning of their career to say, look, I don't trust it and I don't want to be around it. I'm fine with that. But again, it's about the focus of team sports, that you have to have the team focus in a positive direction.
And I think what Doolittle is telling you is that, yeah, I'm in if I can just trust that Major League Baseball and the teams that we're playing for are doing things the right way. And that is making sure that we get the test results in a timely fashion, making sure that I have the necessary equipment so I can protect myself and just worry about improving my skills to help the ball club win. And that gets us to the National Football League, because I don't know if you saw this, but Packers president Mark Murphy said, quote, "With so much uncertainty, it has made sense that we have not made decisions until we absolutely have to. As we near the start of training camp, though, time is no longer on our side," because that's where the real world starts to intersect with the actual sport. And there is, out of all the four major sports in our country, there is no sport that has as much contact every single play as football. Hockey's close, basketball a little bit closer to that, but there's nothing like football. And I think, just go back to when you were playing. I mean, you know exactly what happens in the trenches every single play. If you didn't feel secure because you didn't know the test results, you didn't have the proper equipment to help you when you're not playing, how can you go about playing the sport and feeling confident?
Like, I, you know, going back to when I was playing, 23, 24, 5, 6 years old, you kind of felt like you were invincible. Mm-hmm. So if you are trying to, you know, gain ground on, you know, life and the finances of life, you would feel that, you know, you are indestructible, and you'd go along with the plan. But you're right. It is about making sure they have the proper protocol in place for whatever sport you're going to play, about all the protective equipment and the testing and the on-time results and all that. I agree 100%. If you're going to ask these guys to come in and, you know, challenge for what they do, then you better providing them the safest of atmosphere you possibly can.
I mean, let's be honest. All of us, the minute we open the door and leave our house, there's a risk. You're taking a risk when you're living in the midst of a virus. And it gives you a great appreciation for all the first responders, the healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, all the hospital workers, all the grocery store workers, all the delivery people that have not been able to take time off and quarantine throughout all of this. It gives you a great deal of appreciation for the jobs that they've done. When it comes to professional sports, they don't have to do this. They're being asked to do this for the greater good, you know, in order to give us a little bit of entertainment. That's why the least that can be done is making sure that the environment created is as safe as possible. And that's why I kind of step back. I mean, it's one thing to look at the numbers in our country, and it's just ridiculous that we haven't taken it seriously overall as a country, and that the numbers are going up, because you know, there's been a lot of talk about politicizing this and government and all that. Listen, we've been around now long enough where you know what you need to do. Wear a mask, keep distance, pay attention to your hygiene by constantly washing your hands and not touching your face. And I think there are a lot of people that have been selfish, and it could ruin what could be, from a recreational standpoint, just a great summer of sports, a great escape from everything we've had to deal with for the last 4 months.
If in 7 days there was no more Sox players that tested positive for the virus, but the outside world, they were still on that number, not as steep of an incline, but somewhere still the numbers are out there of concern. Would you have less concern because you feel this bubble atmosphere is working? Would that be a good example for the outside society that if you do protect yourself around the people you're with, then maybe you can contain this or minimize it?
I you know, the only sport I really feel comfortable about being able to do this is the NBA and probably the NHL, because they're going to have their two hub cities and have their bubble atmosphere. But you don't have that in baseball. And, you know, I mentioned cases are rising in 40 out of the 50 states, and we're not going backwards with the numbers. They are rising each and every day. We've had four consecutive days of at least 50,000 positive cases. And if you're going to have to start traveling, and California is bad right now, Texas is bad, yeah. Florida is bad, and there are a lot of Major League Baseball teams in those states. And that's my concern as to how you – and I'm sure if I was a – if I'm a player, say, that plays for the Mariners, and I know that I'm playing either the NL West or the AL West, think about those road trips. You're going to Texas. You're going to California. A whole bunch. You know, how can that not play a role in your confidence every time you're on the road?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, it's just questions that we don't have the answer to, because that portion of baseball hasn't come up yet. So I think what you have to do is just pay attention to the daily activities of what's they're trying to start now, where it will be in 7 days, and then where is it in 2 weeks. If you're only amongst yourself and you're not doing any traveling at all, mm-hmm. but you're still having more episodes each time you test this group of guys, you don't have to leave to go anywhere to find out that it's probably it may be an undoable situation that we're creating here. So I think there are daily lessons learned by everybody involved, athletes, organizations, trainers, medical people. But again, it's the numbers will tell the story. But baseball has to be prepared in case the best case scenario does happen, where they go out and try to play some games.
Right. See, the thing that I think is going to hit home with a lot of guys in all different sports, everyone has an example that they can look to. I mean, you heard Tommy Hotovy on the Mully and Haw show last week, you know, very candid and open, revealing things that were kind of scary. You know, how a guy who's in great shape, no vulnerable conditions that are known of, has this for 30 days, and it crushed him, he said. And he talked about how he had difficulty breathing for a long period of time, and how the high temperature causes your mind to go to very dark places. And I think that's a lesson that everyone in the Cubs organization is going to pay attention to. If you are on that squad, you have a guy that you can look to and say, man, you know what? If it can happen to him, it can happen to me, so I better be careful. And I'm sure that's going to be the case with the White Sox after these two positive tests. The thing that I just think is unacceptable is not having results. There cannot be a backlog on test results. There cannot be an inadequate supply of the gear that you need to protect yourself. If you can't get that right, then forget it. You can't function properly in terms of having professional sports.
You're right. If you can't provide the gear, you can't play the sport. And I think that's, you know, in some of the most dangerous fields that we talk about, these people put themselves in every day. Their first priority to have the most protective gear that the humans can put on their bodies in order to protect themselves from the disease and the job they're doing. When you think about sports, it's kind of a superficial, you know, part of life. However, if they are going to ask you to come and, you know, try to put this 60-game schedule together, which every time I hear a 60-game schedule, it kind of makes me more excited, because really we've never seen what could happen during that time frame in the sport of baseball, especially in the last couple of years, how there's been those talks of, you know, limiting the amount of games, cutting the schedule back, taking certain series out of the mix of baseball. Again, the first thing is you have to protect these, you know, everybody that works inside these organizations properly. And like I said, time is going to tell, Zach. You know, you and I are not going to come to a conclusion within this 3 hours. But time will tell really what's the story of this.
I hope we can do it, because, and you know how excited I've been about, and you just mentioned it, you know, for the first time in baseball history, and I don't care that there's an asterisk at the end of this season in terms of any records that may be set and who wins the championship. The only thing I really care about is in an atmosphere where we've had nothing to look forward to, you know, other than the documentary, The Last Dance, the NFL draft briefly, you had the long gone summer. I mean, really, from a sports standpoint, there really hasn't been anything to look forward to. And then you go from that to all of a sudden, in the span of a couple of weeks, you're going to have a baseball season that's a sprint to the playoffs, not a marathon. You're going to have the start of the NBA playoffs with games all throughout the day, starting in the early afternoon all the way through the evening. You're going to have training camp getting underway. And here it's a big deal because we've got a quarterback competition, a legit quarterback competition, which is going to be great. And then you have the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, which should get underway sometime in early August. So you're going to have a buffet to choose from, but as a country, we've got to do better. And from a protective standpoint, these sports have to do better. Let's take a timeout. We'll talk about the fun stuff when we come back. I want to hear what you're interested in terms of how you're going to be viewing your sports when late July rolls around. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bruce Levine joins us at 4. Ron Coomer joins us at 5. And you can join us at 312-644-6767. Your calls and our thoughts next on The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman with you until 6 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We will visit with Bruce Levine coming up at 4 o'clock. Two unnamed players testing positive for COVID-19 on the White Sox. So we'll get the latest on that with Bruce at 4. Ron Coomer will talk Cubs baseball with us coming up at 5 o'clock. Coombs experienced some fun times over the last couple of days. He's been out to Wrigley Field, and he's had the opportunity to sit alone in the home radio booth and just kind of watch these inter-squad workouts that the Cubs are having. And I send you this picture? There was a picture that the Cubs tweeted out of David Ross addressing the team the other day. And, you know, the Cubs are in the stands, and they're all spread out, most of them wearing masks, and listening to David Ross deliver his speech, because you're essentially doing spring training all over again. I know baseball's calling it summer camp, but this time it's a short sprint to get to a season. I mean, we're less than 20 days away before the start of the regular season for the Cubs and the White Sox. And Anthony Rizzo said that he had never seen that view of Wrigley Field, because, you know, when would a player just go and sit in the stands and kind of take in the beauty of the ballpark? Everything is unique about this year, but it's also a golden opportunity for these players. If you can get through it from a safety standpoint, and we can't control that, I hope that the testing's in order, all the teams get the necessary gear, guys are diligent, and in addition to that, as a country, we start to take this thing a little bit more seriously. But that's not stuff that you and I can control. So from a sports standpoint, if all that happens and they have a season, I mean, what an incredible opportunity to be able to say that you were, if you win a championship during this era, this probably is harder than any regular season because of all the extra stuff I just mentioned, Tom.
Right, but, you know, David Ross is trying to go through the steps to build the camaraderie of a team. Everybody's in it together. Give the, you know, the talks and stuff in order just to deliver the message of what you want these players to accomplish, and you called the short summer camp. But I couldn't think of anything more exciting and more fun, especially if you played a sport like baseball that is fun. You know, when you play offense and defensive linemen, there's not a lot of fun to it. It's not like you go, oh, my God, look at that open field. Let's go out there and do lineman drills, because they're not fun. But if you said, oh, my God, Zach, let's go out to Wrigley Field. Let's grab a couple of mitts and play catch in the outfield for the first time in our life, or from the unique perspective of us preparing as a having a summer camp in Wrigley Field. Because you can be a 35-year-old man and you can have the thrill and the excitement as a 10-year-old. So I would think that going into Wrigley Field during this unique time on planet Earth, that it may even finally, for the first time in 4 months, release your mind of what's actually going on. So you have to take all those things into account. Football is a little different because when you're out at practice, it's serious business and there isn't a lot of time for social conversation. But the pre-practice preparation, the stuff, talking to different teammates that play different positions that you don't get to talk to at very much or during practice, or else the postseason when you're walking off the field, everybody's equally as exhausted, but you're kind of all in it together. You know, those building elements of what we're seeing now in baseball, and I bet you Coombe, you know, this probably takes Coombe back to a little leaguer. When you walk into Wrigley Field for the first time in your life, and all of us have as little kids, whether you're on a field trip or you're going there with your family, and you go out there, and, you know, the same with Comiskey when I was a young kid or Wrigley. You walk out there in the awe of that environment as a kid. It's got to be the same to some of these guys as 20, 25, and 35-year-old men.
Yeah, it's definitely a different atmosphere than having spring training out in Arizona. So here's what I want to know. As we get ready for this explosion of sports, which gets underway in earnest at the end of the month, what's your priority list? 312-644-6767, because I'll list the possibilities, and you tell me the order of importance for you at the end of July, and then it will change, obviously, as we get into August and into September. But here's what you've got. You've got the Cubs and White Sox starting, both teams legitimate playoff contenders. I mean, this is not a hope. Both teams are built to make the playoffs. If it happens, that's a different story. But they're both built right now to be able to compete for a chance to get to the postseason. You know, the Cubs have that championship core of Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Schwarber, and Contreras. They've got really good starting pitching at the top end of the rotation with Darvish and Hendricks and Lester. The bullpen, if he's right and anything like the guy he was in Boston, then the Cubs have a legit closer. If he's not and he looks like the guy from last year, then everything kind of changes a little bit. Then with the White Sox, you've got this young group that everyone's excited about at nearly every position, but they've sprinkled in some veterans from the offseason, including Grandal, Encarnacion, Mazara, Keuchel. And that's exciting because you think they're in that same group with Minnesota and Cleveland based on what they did during the offseason. Then you've got the training camp. If there are no more delays, July 28th, Bears begin training camp at Halas Hall, and from the get-go, there is a different urgency that begins day one. It's not like last year where I think there was, at least on the outside, this belief that, oh, if the Bears just settle the kicking position, they're going to be able to take off and improve on what happened in the 2018 season. It's very different now. You don't know who your quarterback is going to be, and you have two guys who are highly motivated to win that job in Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. You've got basketball, and I know the Bulls aren't playing, but you've got LeBron with the Lakers looking to win his first championship in L.A. You've got Giannis and the Bucks trying to win their first championship as a group. So that's going to be fun because playoff basketball starts from the get-go in the NBA. The Blackhawks, after what was, let's be honest, a terrible regular season, have new life. They have an opportunity to get in and do something about it. And they have some championship players on their squad as well. So what is your order of importance in terms of the end of July?
You know, I am excited about the baseball season because I think the Chicago White Sox have maybe built a team that we don't know how good they could possibly be.
Right.
If Eloy and the pitching staff, everything comes together, they could go out there and maybe the Sox and Cubs are contending for a World Series at the end of all this in the fantasy world. I'm really interested in I'm more interested in watching the development of David Ross because, you know, we've watched a lot of baseball in the last 4 or 5 years, and these core group of guys that you talked of, we've seen a lot of them. I'd like to see what's different about them in their approach and their hustle, their baseball running decisions, the way they see pitches and stuff, according to David Ross. Just to put an asterisk at the end of the baseball one, I'm still interested in seeing the Houston Astros and what happens with those guys.
Right.
And then when you talk, this is probably the most interested I've been in a Bears competition, that they let a competition be known well before it was going to happen on the field. And I think that builds, you know, that's like pushing the snowball over the hill and just watching it gain momentum and size. Because when you talk about a quarterback duel in Chicago for the starting quarterback of a team that has playoff aspirations, mm-hmm. Boy, that's a heck of a battle, heck of a responsibility, and it's going to be great to see how all this happens. You know, and I'm just as interested to see on Zion how he finishes, he goes forward with his baseball career, and I would like to see Tiger Woods defend the Masters. I think that would be an incredible sports story, you know, just thinking outside the box of, you know, the Blackhawks, Bulls, Bears.
Yeah, I didn't even get to that. I mean, you've got, the golf as well. And this is why I just hope we can do it from a health and safety standpoint, because it would be a lot of fun. And even though we can't go out and do the things that we've been accustomed to doing, at least we'd have an opportunity, whether you're working for home or you have to go out for a little bit to work, but you come back home and hopefully when you're quarantined, you have an opportunity to enjoy the time that you do spend at home at night watching these games. And I think that's why I hope selfishly that we can get all of this done.
You know, another thing that would be interesting is during the course of any season, we always see these parents that are videotaping their young kids watching a sport. And then the way they react to a big loss or a big win, you imagine individually, you know, you times that by thousands now because you don't have them in the stadium, but you have families at home watching sports on TV. And some of the reaction videos that you'll get, because like I said, it's not going to come from the 60,000 in the stadium. It's going to be the thousands of people in their home watching that sport.
Yeah, I saw the Brewers did something really cool yesterday, because so many of their players left their families back at home in order to be separate from them while they undergo this season, and they're going to be traveling, so to make sure everyone's safe back home. And they put up on the huge scoreboard and video board at Miller Park pictures of spouses, girlfriends, kids of the players, so that it was as though they were looking at them while they were working out. A very cool move by the Brewers. When we come back, you got me thinking. You were talking about David Ross and you know, how he handles what's ahead of him here. You've had several teammates that you were close with during your days with the Bears who have gone on to become NFL head coaches. Some have been successful, some have not. What have you learned from them, that from the time that they were players to what changed when they became head coaches? I'll ask you that next. Everyone from Singletary to Rivera to Frazier to Fisher, all that's next with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Your phone calls too at 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I want to thank our executive producer, Mike Chen, who's helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. We've been talking a lot about what is your order of sports importance when hopefully sports resumes at the end of the month. Does it start with baseball with you? The Cubs and White Sox reportedly get underway on July 24th. On July 23rd is opening day around Major League Baseball. The defending champion Washington Nationals are scheduled to host the Yankees, and the Dodgers are going to be playing the Giants. So those will be the only two games on the 23rd to kind of announce baseball's arrival. And then on the 24th, everyone else gets underway. The complete schedule should be official at some point tomorrow. So we'll find out who the Cubs are playing, who the White Sox are playing, in what order, a 60-game sprint to the postseason. And then you've got NFL training camps as of today scheduled to begin on July 28th, including the Bears quarterback competition. Mitchell Trubisky will get the first snap. Nick Foles will get an equal amount of snaps from the get-go. And then after that, who knows how that's going to work. And then shortly after that, by the end of the month, you're going to get the NBA going, including LeBron's quest to win his first championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. And you've got Giannis and the Bucks trying to make sure that doesn't happen, and all these other good teams that are loaded up. I think the cool thing about the NBA is because certain teams have had time to heal, and you mentioned Zion, you know, he's a completely different player now than when we last saw him because he's 100% healthy. I'm guessing he no longer has any kind of minutes restriction. And there was a picture that was tweeted of him the other day. He has spent the kind of time you would like to see an athlete spend in the weight room. There are a lot of guys that say they spent a lot of time in the weight room. You look at Zion and you can tell the guy has spent a lot of time in the weight room. And I think with him, really, it is the transformation of his body. Because if he's able to do that successfully and take care of his body, I don't believe anyone questions whether or not he can be successful from a skill standpoint.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I do think the telltale sign is what he invests into the offseason. And you look at Michael Jordan, you look at LeBron James, you look at these guys that have been able to have these long, double-digit, successful, healthy careers. It's about their investment into the offseason, into themselves, into the weight room, into the conditioning. And so one thing about Zion, though, you know, LeBron James has just gotten more mature since he's been in the NBA. We saw Michael Jordan kind of make a transformation from a skinnier kid into a muscular, you know, a more physical style of basketball player, evident because what Detroit was doing to him. Mm-hmm. Even Kobe Bryant, when you see him as a young man entering the NBA and how his physical appearance changed during the course of his career. Zion could go the exact opposite way. Because he has that Charles Barkley body style that if he quit working out or wasn't working out enough according to the expectations of an NBA program, you'd be able to see the weight gain in him. You'd be able to see the different parts of his body getting thicker with, you know, not muscle, but just body mass. So,
yeah.
And, you know, the Zion, he has to do that if he wants to have a long career.
Well, looking at him, there's a much leaner version of him. He's still muscular,
good,
but much leaner than we've seen him at any point, and that includes going back to when he was a player at Duke. So before the commercial break, we were talking about David Ross and how he has to change slightly from being a leader as a player that everyone trusted to the man now as a manager. And I bring that up because you have a unique vantage point, having played with so many guys who went on to become head coaches in the National Football League. There's Jeff Fisher, who had a long career as a head coach with the Titans and the Rams. Mike Singletary was briefly the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Leslie Frazier was the head coach in Minnesota. Ron Rivera is currently the head coach of Washington. And by the way, did you hear this? That Rivera and Daniel Snyder have been tossing new names about Rivera telling the Washington Post yesterday, quote, "If we get it done in time for the season, it would be awesome. We came up with a couple of names. Two of them I really like," but he didn't reveal the names. Have you talked to him since that article
came out? I haven't,
but
I would say get it done before the season. And it shouldn't be that hard.
There's a way to do it, I think, where you can have the essence of what you think the Washington football team is all about without having a name that is racist. All right, so I just mentioned a whole bunch of names. How did they change when they became head coaches?
Well, all right, first of all, every one of those guys you mentioned, Leslie Frazier, he started a program and developed a program at Trinity College, which is right in the suburbs in the Lake Forest, Highland Park area. Ron Rivera, unpaid assistant. Mike Singletary, volunteer coach before he got a position job. You know, so when you think about these guys through football, even though you were a successful player, you weren't considered to have the qualities to become a coach that you were looking for. So they made you come out and prove yourself, prove your work ethic as a coach, not as a football player. Prove your value to the team. Prove your intelligence about the position that you wanted to coach. So there was different levels of proving grounds for every one of these football players that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I'm concerned about David Ross, Zach, because a couple years ago as a player, he was sitting in the locker room talking to these guys as a teammate. He understands the nicks and bruises and the ailments of some of these guys that they're fighting through on a daily basis. Now, if there's a guy that, you know, had significant or numerous nicks and bruises and then they're just starting to reveal themselves again, do you make the decision as David Ross, the ex-teammate that knows this guy is a good player, or David Ross, the manager that has to put the best team on the field? So David Ross was never that far removed from this team. Every one of these guys we talked about, they never walked into the same locker room they played in and took over the controls, whether it be from a head coach, position coach, or coordinator. So that's the different element about it that – you know, I don't know, is there going to be a star player that's going to look him in the eyes and go, hey, you know, I remember, you know, you as a player. So it's some of those dynamics that all these guys are going to have to accept and overcome during the course of David Ross's development. I think he can do it, but when you're talking about our football guys as opposed to David Ross, the Cubs manager, you know, he was on that World Series team.
Yeah, it's very interesting because we've seen several examples of players immediately become managers after spending a little bit of time in the broadcast booth. And we saw it with Alex Cora, who ended up winning a championship with the Red Sox before all the issues that occurred, and then he had to leave that job. You have Aaron Boone with the Yankees, and he's been quite successful. Craig Counsell had immediate success as a manager after a long playing career that included championships, and maybe it's his Notre Dame education, I'm not sure, but
sure
it's the ability to adjust to that. Dave Roberts with the Los Angeles Dodgers has had a lot of success, still has yet to win a championship. And now David Ross. And I think where baseball is different is there is such a reliance on analytics that the game from that standpoint is taken care for you, you know, because the game is almost computerized now from an analytics basis, but it's still a people business. And that's where you need guys that can connect, a manager that can connect to a player, that because there's nothing about analytics that can help you fix some of the issues that the Cubs had last year, where they committed the third most errors in Major League Baseball, and they ran into more outs than any team in baseball. That's where you need a leader and a teacher to nip bad habits in the bud and to make sure that people understand what you need to do in certain situations.
Right. We have Bruce Levine coming on at 4 o'clock, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's ask him this. Was Ozzie the player the same as Ozzie the manager?
I don't think you can be.
Well, okay, but that's the beginning of this subject, is David Ross. You mm-hmm. know, the one thing they admired about David Ross was his fiery approach to the position, his leadership in the locker room, in the clubhouse, in the dugout. So, you know, but because I'm just thinking of, you know, to me, Ozzie's one of the most captivating manager coaching personalities in Chicago history, and I say that in the same breath as Mike Ditka. Right. But you know what? You know, Ozzie the White Sox or Ozzie the White Sox manager? Mm-hmm. Is he two? You know, was he two different guys?
But then I go back and I'll ask you this, because you know the head coach and the assistants that those former Bears learned from. And see, so when I look at David Ross on the north side, you know, I mean, here's a guy who has played for some of the best managers in the history of the game, including Joe Madden here, Bobby Cox down in Atlanta, just to name a few. There are others. Right. And the guys that I mentioned that you played with, Mike Ditka was the head coach, but you guys were also loaded with an all-star group of assistants helping Ditka coach the football team. We don't spend enough time talking about those guys.
Well, I mean, yeah, Mike Singletary, I think his approach to coaching defensive football is going to be more of a Buddy Ryan, you know, his philosophy. Probably the way that Mike Singletary prepared in meetings was more of a Buddy Ryan philosophy, the way he led meetings, you know, because other than the team meeting or maybe some special teams meeting, he wasn't in there with Ditka like I was. So, yeah, I do think that every one of these guys, you know, is like Dick Stanfield used to say, you got to be able to start coaching yourself. When you can start coaching yourself, that's when you can make the biggest improvements. And whether you're talking about Leslie or Ron Revere or Mike Singletary, you know, other guys, Jerry Fontenot, Andy Heck, Luke Butkus, all these guys that we are around during their career, they've all become long-term successful coaches, either head coach or position coach, but it was also the way they dedicated themselves as a player and their preparation to get themselves prepared. Now they feel that they can carry that and prepare groups of men.
What I find most interesting about the collection of talent that the Cubs have, who is the David Ross in that clubhouse? Because I don't think they had one. And that's part of the reason why they needed to find someone like David Ross to manage the team. Because Joe Madden, and it worked for him, so you cannot criticize this. You know, over the first 4 years that he was Cubs manager, he basically put that responsibility that you just talked about on the players. And it worked. You had three deep postseason runs, including the championship in 2016. They did make the playoffs in 2018, but kind of stumbled back a little bit to get there. And then last year, they kept the core together, and they just didn't have a closer. So for all the mistakes, I mean, yes, they had issues at the leadoff spot. Can't blame that on the manager. But one of the things we know David Ross is changing is last year you had, as a team, the Cubs hit .212 in the leadoff spot with a .294 on-base percentage, .383 slugging, terrible numbers. So what they've done is they've now taken Chris Bryant, elevated him to the leadoff spot. His numbers are ridiculous compared to what I just mentioned. They had major issues at second base last season, no matter who they used. Addison Russell didn't work out. Daniel Descalso didn't work out. So they bring in the veteran from Cleveland, Jason Kipnis. He'll hit against the right-handers. And then from taking on left-handed pitching, they're hoping that the combination of David Bodie, Nico Horner, maybe Ian Happ, one of those guys kind of settles in and you have a platoon at second base and you improve that position, which hit .220 as a total. The second baseman last year for the Cubs hit .220. Not good. And then the other stuff that I mentioned, the ability to be smart on the base paths and knowing when to take risks, knowing when not to, and just being smart with the glove, because third most errors in Major League Baseball last season. So they hit 256 home runs as a team, number two in the National League, but you're not maximizing those home runs because you either are creating extra outs or giving outs away to the other team. So that I think a manager can control. And then, of course, there's the bullpen, which I think was an Achilles heel last year for a variety of different reasons. That's not on the manager. But basically, there are a whole bunch of different faces to get from the starting pitching to the closer. But the closer that ended last year is still the closer now. He simply has to be better. And I'm talking about Craig Kimbrell. And if he's not, what's option two? Because then you're going to get tested. Is it going to be Rowan Wick? Is it going to be Jeremy Jeffress, the former Milwaukee Brewer? So that's when the tough decision making will come in. But you know what? It's not easy to be a manager. Although I will say this, unlike football, unlike basketball, unlike hockey, I think a manager in Major League Baseball probably has the least amount of influence on what transpires on game day.
Right. So you asked who's going to be the David Ross of this Chicago Cubs baseball team. That was your initial question, right?
Yes.
So if I'm on the outside looking in, and what are one of those guys, when I look into his face, who it's not that I have the most respect for because I don't know him, but I like his approach, it's John Lester. So who am I going to watch come into that clubhouse every day? And I know that he starts every fifth day, every, you know. So I know his contribution part of it is different than a guy like David Ross of it. But John Lester, you look him in the eyes, and you did an interview with him earlier this offseason, and it was just you and John Lester one-on-one. It was the most the most enjoyable interview I've ever heard by John Lester, because he seemed relaxed and he seemed to be talking about his concerns and about baseball itself. So if there was a guy inside that locker room, to me, that I would want to hear from, like David Ross, you know, maybe said his part in his playing days, it would be John Lester.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know that a pitcher can take that role. I think a pitcher can take that role with the pitchers, but I think it has to be an everyday player or someone that has respect from the everyday players. And to be fair, I think there are a lot of self-motivated guys in that Cubs clubhouse. Like, I don't think Chris Bryant needs to be inspired.
Put that in the column for a Coomer question. We got one for Bruce Levine. That will go in the 5 o'clock hour Coomer question. Because, I don't know. To me, when you look at everything John has put into the game since he's been here, and I know I'm one of the guys that don't like the fact that he doesn't fling the ball to first base. However, I think the foundation that he's built as a successful competitor, I think he could go into the clubhouse any day he wants to and speak his mind.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to the South Side, hear from Bruce Levine. What's the latest going on with the White Sox, who had two players unnamed test positive for COVID-19? Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer with you until 6 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.